Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's the Handball Rock Podcast, starring Joey Devine, Magnus Wisswander, Zenaida Turkina, Dave Dufour, Svetlana Kittich, Nicola Karabatich, John Keane, Bro Hammerseng, Ivano Balich, musical guest, Tennis, and now the temporary host of the Handball Rock Podcast, Dave Dufour.
Hi, welcome to Handball Rock. I am your temporary host, Dave Dufour, joined as I am every week on Handball Rock by my good buddy, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I got Olympic handball fever. It's been very exciting. I can't believe Norway went down like that. And I'm just very excited that, very early in the morning or very late at night tonight, we are going to finally learn who our handball finalists are going to be. It's very exciting. We're recording this Wednesday night. So you Olympic freaks, get some context. We have a women's final four and a men's final four. So the men's final four going to play tonight. And we're very excited about that. Dave, how are you?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm doing great. I've just been overwhelmed by Olympic spirit, I think. And just, the handball has been good, man, surprisingly.
Yeah. I mean, look, you and I have both had some concerns with the ethics of the IOC and doing this during a pandemic. But when the handball starts flying, I just don't remember. And I don't think about any of that.
Yeah, I try to keep politics out of handball. I don't think there's any place for it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's the one Olympic sport where the ratings have still been pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it was 45% down overall. And it certainly isn't because it's hard to find. Because
No. It's all over the
very
place.
Easy. Yeah.
I mean, you get your Peacock premium subscription. Some of them are going to be on the USA Network, but you know which ones those are going to be, because it's basically based on their international handball rank. The lesser matches are going to be on USA. Other ones are going to be on Peacock Premium. And of course, there were some quarterfinals on CNBC, but they were very clear about that. It's pretty easy to follow. So yeah, ratings down 45%, handball ratings up 0.5%.
Pretty good. I think that both of those are because of us. I mean, let's just be honest here, right? Like, we're kind of the driving force behind the handball coverage.
Yeah, there's not a lot of handball podcasts, but I think we've been doing a great job of just sort of embracing the handball spirit. And, you know, we have that international audience. We love our audience, by the way. Thank you so much for everybody supporting us. Oh, we should do some business first.
Yeah, we should take care of some business. Guys, don't forget, go to our Handball Rock Patreon. Patreon access to Mennings versus Shield, where it's always Arif Nalin, John, as we both know.
Arif Nalin.
At the 10-euro level, you get a signed trading card of Domagoj Duvnjak. Mm-hmm. And at the 100-euro level, we're going to take you to a match along with your hosts. That's me and you, to the Jane Sandanski Arena in beautiful Skopje, Macedonia. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to see HC Vardar 1961. Sean, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Our best idea yet.
I think it's going to be really fun. And it would be great to just see, I mean, even despite it being a prize, it's great to see these listeners in person. So, yeah.
You think Alexander the Great played handball?
You know, I think he did, actually, because it's a pretty ancient game. There was, well, we'll get to this later, but there are some hieroglyphics depicting handball on some Egyptian pyramids. So
there you go.
It's an old sport. I bet Alexander played. Yeah.
Yeah. Another Macedonian king, just Mr. Duvnjak.
It's him and Pero Antic and, yeah, Duvnjak.
There you go. Well, today we got a special mailbag edition of Handball Rock. So thanks for everybody following along with our live commentary on the France-Germany handball thriller. I mean, that was just incredible handball.
And, you know, France has been lighting it up in the tournament, but that Germany game was touch and go. 30-29. I was a little worried. You know, I'm a French handball freak. So I was very worried about our dude, Karabatic, but they pulled it out at the end. Yeah, that was great. And thanks to everybody for their comments and questions, both on the live blog and after. It was great.
All right. Should we give you some news before we get to the mailbag?
Let's do some news.
This is Handball Rock News. Handball news for humans and robots and also Belgians. Respect the process.
First up, the Norway women's handball players have been fined for rejecting bikini uniforms. Sean, they actually wore shorts instead of their bikini bottoms, which is their official uniform. The New York Times puts it like this. The International Handball Federation requires women to wear bikini bottoms with a close fit and a cut on an upward angle toward the top. The sides of the bikini bottoms must be no more than 4 inches. Men, on the other hand, can wear shorts as long as 4 inches above the knee, as long as they are, quote, not too baggy, which is subjective there. A spokeswoman for the International Handball Federation, Jessica Rockstro, said on Tuesday she did not know the reason for the rules. Quote, we're looking into it internally, she said. Rockstro also said, globally, we know that other countries like to play in bikinis, for especially in South America. Very important here. Norway's players were fined 150 euros each, which Norway's federation is going to play. But they've been protesting this rule for a long time, Sean, since 2006. They've been trying to get this rules change. Other sports where you see these rules, beach volleyball, tennis, and badminton.
Did you know that badminton had that kind of dress code?
Had no idea.
Yeah, apparently because they thought interest was lagging, you now have to play top-level badminton in a skirt.
Interesting.
I just didn't know that it was a horny sport. I didn't really realize that handball was such a horny sport, honestly.
I don't think any sports should be horny sports, right? Like, it just seems to me just go out there and play.
Yeah, like that should be a different thing. You know what I mean? Like if you want to see people in bikinis, there's Instagram. There's a site you can visit in the International Federation or not, honestly. Yeah, did you see what they ended up wearing?
No, what did they end up wearing?
I mean, they essentially wore skin-tight boy shorts. So like, it wasn't like they're wearing a burqa or something like that. Like, it was still a pretty revealing thing. I actually saw the picture and thought that initially I thought that was the outfit they were protesting, but all they wanted to do was cover a small amount of their upper thighs basically. And that was 150 euros.
I mean, so, look, it seems reasonable.
Yeah, like you can wear a uniform for your Olympic sport that covers your actual ass. That doesn't seem like so crazy to me.
Well, and you know, the beach volleyball, they've got it really bad because the sand gets everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And you gotta think, like, aren't you the floor is not soft.
Oh, you're asking for
a raspberry. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Olympic news. Our final four is set. We've got France and Egypt.
Uh-huh.
And then Spain and Denmark, and then the winner of those two matchups will meet for the gold medal. Look, we know Nicola Karabatic in France, they're going to want revenge after that loss to Denmark in the final in Rio.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt could become the first Egyptian medalist in a team sport, period. Yeah.
Any team sport of any kind, Egypt has never taken a single Olympic medal. This could be amazing for them. So even if they don't get past France, they still have a shot at Egypt's first hard work. It'd be nice to get a little more African representation. They're a good team. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to treat them like Cinderella's because it's kind of their first time there. But, man, they beat Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
They took Denmark to penalties.
Easily.
This is a real team.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be what-ifing this team for years if they don't medal.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, I don't know. I just don't think France is going to take this team lightly. They're legit. And they're kind of the nobody believes in us handball squad from this year's Olympics. And, you know, arguably Egypt has the longest international handball tradition too.
But
can be believed. Yeah.
What do you think about a potential France Denmark rematch for the gold medal? I think France is just, they're a better team than Egypt and they should win this match.
They should.
I think they're a better team than Denmark.
I think so too. The only danger is, are they going to be looking past Egypt because they're thinking about Denmark? I don't know.
I mean, it's possible.
I mean, I think France has got to be the favorite here. And, you know, I would not take Spain lightly either. But I don't know. It feels like it's like Cavs Warriors. You know what I mean? Like you want to see these two teams renew their rivalry. And, you know, Karabatic, he's 37. This could it should probably be his last Olympics, but I would never count that guy out. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
And on the one side, the final four is set. France is going to play Sweden. Norway is going to play the ROC, which is the coalition of Russian athletes that somehow, in spite of the massive cheating scandal, it only banned Russia and not the actual athletes who themselves were cheating, which, by the way, I should say, as a fan of PEDs, I find it all ridiculous. So
it's weird because you wouldn't think that handball would be one of the sports, but it's definitely in the program. If you watch the Icarus, it's actually one of the sports that Putin was most intense about trying to get onto the podium and get some hardware.
Well, probably because America is so awful at it. And it's another thing to rub our noses in. I mean, we can barely qualify for this. If you look at our history, I mean,
it's kind of sad, actually.
Embarrassing. We have 360 million people. We can't get, you know, a team of however many guys together and go win a gold medal.
You need basically a dozen. You need a dozen total handball players. And, you know, I think that's why I am looking forward to. Have you heard the rumors about the USHL?
I haven't.
United States Handball League. It's going to be played because it's America. They've got to make some differences. They're going to play with a money ball in the final minute of each quarter, which is worth two goals, which the purists hate. But I mean, I think that's something that you can do to hook the American audience. And also, I think what I've heard right now is that they've got Under Armour to design all the uniform, and the men's are going to be kind of more revealing, I guess. And I think they think it's going to attract the players just like college football. So should be interesting.
Should we talk about some transactions?
Handball Rock transactions.
To the line. Now he's found Gola. That's what he tried to do earlier. And at the second attempt, it works.
Free agents. Transfer fees, trades, you tell us.
And another save, Andreas Wolf, the ball is loose, it's picked up inside the area.
Is there a handball draft? We don't really know.
Passes the ball in, penalty, infringement in the act of shooting for Fabregas.
You can't use your feet. That's for sure.
Do it.
It's beginning of August, and you know that's transaction time for handball.
Uh-huh.
Angel Fernandez replaces Casper Mortensen. This is a huge one.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, as we know, Barker won the Champions League of handball this year. They're one of the big powers, but Casper Mortensen's contract was up.
Yeah. I mean, and now he's going to go to HSV Hamburg.
Yes. And
what a signing for them.
It's incredible. So you always knew when coach Javi Pascual left Barca as a champion and went to Dinamo Bucharest, you would expect some changes. Like we all saw that Cedric Sorhaindo, followed his coach to Dinamo. And so Mortensen, I thought they were going to keep him around, but maybe he just doesn't fit in with the new program. So he's going to HSV Hamburg.
Where Arino is injured.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sign Angel Fernandez. I don't know, man. Well, how do you feel about the new Carlos Ortega era in Barcelona?
So here's the thing. He's obviously he's not the player he was at Ciudad de Logroño, but he was the best left back in the ASOBAL league. That was 2016 to 2018. He's a little bit older. He's not quite as good, but they needed so much help on that line. I just think, I'm going to withhold judgment because that is Carlos Ortega's first signing. We don't know him as well as a manager, but he's got a lot of resources at Barca. So I give a thumbs up to this move, but as in terms of a grade, it's kind of an incomplete, you know?
And Hamburg look, they did not just sign a coach. They signed six new players.
Mm-hmm.
They signed Mortensen. They signed Johan Bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Line player Manuel Spaeth.
Oh, yeah, from Porto.
Yeah, Frederik Bo Andersen, the very, very good right winger. And then they got Nikolai Tylander and Asat Waljulin.
Yeah, and he was, go ahead. Sorry.
Underrated. It just, you know, we throw the term underrated for a lot of guys in this league. That guy, I don't think you can actually place a dollar amount on what he brings to your locker room.
Well, here's the thing. I just don't think the people who are knocking the signing watched a lot of Julian Ludwigshafen games last year. I don't think they did. And also, I think his last name kind of sounds like Waluigi. And that's, you know, he gets memed a lot. But you watch him out there. He is a tough player on the back. So, I don't know. That's my favorite signing up there. I mean, obviously, Mortensen's, you know, the headliner. But Waluigi, I mean, that's a tough guy. I like it.
What else do we have on the signing front?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is pretty good. You know, both you and I are big Samba heads. That's right. Rogério Morales Ferreira is going home. He's going to Benfica SL.
Wow.
That's a crazy pretty crazy move.
You get a Champions League winner, a guy who won the Champions League at HC Vardar, and now he's leaving for family reasons. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And which you respect, you just have to respect that. It's going to put a ton of pressure on Andreas Nilsson though.
Oh, it's a huge amount of pressure because, you know, Ferreira's won the Champions League with Vardar twice and, you know, it's family reasons. Part of it is he came from Brazil. He didn't even have that much experience in handball when he was 18, and he had to learn Catalan and English simultaneously. I think in a way he's relieved to go somewhere where he can just speak Portuguese again.
Yeah.
But, beautiful but language, I do not know what Veszprém's going to do at this point. Obviously that's a huge get for Benfica, and you know, they won their Champions League qualifier today. So I think, you know, it obviously it's a good long-term move, especially after the Olympics when things start to get, you know, a little more heating up in you know, the EHL.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you do if you want to win a title.
Exactly. Like, this is no, you can't put a price on a title, especially when a guy like this is available. You spend the money and you get Samba.
Should we go to the mailbag?
Let's do it. We haven't done a mailbag in a while, and we got some great questions. So let's go to the mail.
Handball Rock Reader Mail. The postal service is not so underfunded in Europe. Mail arrives promptly and with beautiful stamps. But robots only receive email. To never know the thrill of opening an envelope is a robot's fate forever.
Our first question comes from a friend of the podcast. Eric Freeman asks, what are the rules of handball? I don't get the limitations of the arc, and I don't think my fourth grade gym teacher did either. I mean, I guess we
you
can,
know, yeah. I just got to say, it just speaks to the quality of the sport that someone who, you know, one of our longtime Patreons, I mean, shout out to Eric Freeman, right? Been around for a long time, but it just goes to show how compelling the sport is that you can watch it for years and not know the rules.
You can absolutely enjoy it. Yeah.
You're lost in it, right? Mm-hmm. That is the beauty of it's the artistry handball. The creativity is just so apparent with every single possession. Let's talk about the rules. I mean, because it seems like an important thing to know if you love the sport of handball as much as you and I do. So let's dig into our expert knowledge on the ins and outs of the sport.
Yeah, well, so let's just talk about the arc. Okay, so obviously the arc, only the goalies allowed inside.
No man's land.
Yeah, I mean, we know that. And, you know, you can't enter it as an offensive player, Eric, but you can jump into it. You just have to release the ball before you land. You know, it's like
similar to like basketball, where if you jump from behind the 3-point line and you take the shot, that's a three.
Is that the rule in basketball?
You can do that in basketball. Maybe these guys need to watch more handball. You would think these guys would be more creative and do that, but you know, boring sport.
But you can't run through it either. If you go into it, you need to leave it immediately through the most expeditious and direct route. You know, the goalkeeper cannot leave it while he's holding the ball. Obviously, as you know, the goalie can become an attacking player. Usually it's with a substitute who's wearing the same color shirt as the goalie. People who know hockey will refer to that as pulling the goalie. Obviously, it is a very long German term. I don't want to insult the Germans by mispronouncing the name of the strategy, but that's how it's known in the world of handball. And of course, that secondary circle is for
free throws.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when we think of the term free throw, right? Like, again, you go back to basketball and you know, it's just a bunch of guys standing there watching the guy shoot. Seemed pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
This is much more difficult. It's more like a free kick in soccer. So there is defense on this sort of free throw. It's a real free throw. A free shot at the basket with no one bothering you.
We get a lot of questions from American listeners about the dotted circle too. So it's good to just refresh and bring it up here. Okay. Well, thank you for your question, Eric.
Yeah. Great question.
Okay. Important
question.
It's a really important question. All right. Our listener Bean Thrifty asks, what ways would you look to cheat in handball? So I hadn't really thought about this one before this question.
First of all, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Okay? I mean, there's a long tradition of kind of some arcane handball stuff. A lot of stick 'em on the palm. We've seen a lot of that. Do you remember when that team in Mannheim was deflating the handballs a little bit just because it was like better grip, slowing the game down? They had kind of a veteran team, and it took months for anyone to notice and check the PSI on those. So it's kind of like a gentleman's game, but it's also a rogue's game, I guess is the best way to describe it. Do you have any innovative cheating ideas, Dave?
Tom Brady, by the way, was consulting with that team for a few years. So
yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just a weird coincidence.
No one on the team has been allowed to eat strawberries for, I think, the last decade, actually.
I think the illegal screen is just not used enough. You know, I'd like to see a little bit more movement, a little bit more physicality. I think that you cheat until you get called for it.
Exactly.
And you're just always be cheating is rule number one in handball if you're playing with me.
So my my adult handball league that I play in, we do a move that's called a Red Rover. And what you do is it's a two-man kind of staggered screen, but you hold hands together. And the refs almost never know it. Now, again, this is on the amateur level. We're not, you know, the Karabatic's or anything like that. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, the ref can't watch everything. And I think like the screening and the moving aside works really well. Also, I would attempt the hot foot. I think guys are not prepared for the hot foot. It never really made its way to European sports. So I think like introducing the hot foot would be a good, maybe one time psychological advantage you could have.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Tying shoelaces, all that good stuff, especially during the free throws, right? Like definitely want to do that. By the way, congratulations on getting your league to change the bikini bottom rule for your men's league. I mean, that you want to talk about a victory, right? Well, that's something that these Olympians can look up to you guys for.
Yeah, and I honestly think it was a misread of the rules, but also we want to be very gender equitable. And we had a couple of months where, honestly, like I thought my equipment bills for handball were it was just going to be the sports equipment. It was the biweekly waxing that really did it for me. And I just wasn't as comfortable out there. But yes, we have restored it. You can just wear a normal pair of shorts and a normal shirt now. It's great. Okay, so we are. Oh, this is a question from Feeling Mannheim, our longtime listener. He writes, "Hey, you guys, looking at this year's EHF Champions League tournament, and I'm wondering if you think Barca's title deserves an asterisk. After all, because of the pandemic, they let in all 16 finalists from group play, so Barca only had to break Elverum Handball, Meshkov Brest, and HBC Nantes to reach the final, and they only had to play those chumps from Denmark." Well, I wouldn't go that far, but that's what he says. Aalborg Håndbold. Now, none of these teams would have made the knockout round without COVID. Could it have been any easier? Why not let them just play RK Bosna Sarajevo or HC Walker Thun and just hand them a trophy? Anyway, my question is, should they have an asterisk? And which Marvel movie do you think Meshkov Brest is?
Well, let's start with the Marvel question.
Yeah.
I mean, Meshkov Brest is very obviously Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Huge ego, talking raccoon. I mean, they have everything. They've got all those things.
Well, it's just like the decadence of that. And also just it feels overpromoted. You know what I mean? Like it was a sleeper hit at one point, and then they poured money into it, and they've just, I think that Meshkov Brest has lost a lot of their underdog charm that they normally had. It was a fun run when they were making it to the Champions League, and now did this feel like a bloated organization, you know? Yeah. So Guardians too.
A fake Star Wars-y.
Yeah. Should they have an asterisk? I mean, look, things were different in the bubble, and it's a different kind of championship. I just hesitate to put an asterisk on it. This is a historic franchise that has won a lot. And yes, a lot of people say that, you know, having superstars, it's easy to just lure people there. People want to play in Barcelona. They like the handball traditions. You see Barcelona, there's all these people with Barca handball jerseys. The whole city gets behind them. It's not their fault that these other teams couldn't make it out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you do have to play who's in front of you. Okay,
exactly.
But I think that the shooting numbers in the bubble were insane.
Yeah,
and in Barcelona, they benefited more than potentially anyone. And so maybe you put an asterisk on it. I just think that you have to play the game as it's played, and everyone was playing under the same rules, kind of. So yeah, I don't know. We're not going to do the asterisk thing.
No, I mean, it might
respect the sport too much.
Exactly. Like it's an insult to the players who busted their asses there, you know?
That's right. Next question. Pete Croato, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Is there a great book about handball? And you know, I'm going to ask you this question because I don't read sports books. If I'm going to read a book, it's, you know, it's a travel journal. It's maybe a cooking book. Right. Collection of family recipes, but yeah, not a book about sports.
Right. Well, so there's one, and I know people are going to say that this is a little cheesy, but this is the book I read, and I guess it's a ripoff of an American bestseller that I haven't read. And it's from Poland, and it loosely translates in English to The Seven Handballers That You Meet in the Afterlife. And the idea is that it teaches you about life because each of the positions in handball represents a different stage in your life and a part of a human personality. And then at the end, it's very nice. They bring it all together. And the idea is the team is your life. It's everybody that you interact with. It's not just, you know, a keeper. It's not the game is not playing defense. It's back and forth. It's giving and receiving. It's really great. And I've heard it's a ripoff of an American book, but I'm not familiar with that one. So I like that one a lot. The other one I like is, we're both kind of analytics guys. And so I really like this one that came out of Russia that's called Handball Prospektik. And what they do is they do a lot of advanced stats and they kind of uncover the hidden side of handball. You know, that the highest scoring guy is not always the most valuable when you look at a lot of their on off numbers and things like that. And it's also interspersed with essays about this guy playing handball growing up in Siberia with really limited resources. And that's just a real interesting life story. So, those are the two.
The king of the secondary assist.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I would recommend if you wanted to get started.
Should we do a couple more?
Yeah, let's do a couple more here.
Yeah.
All right, let's move in. We have two related questions. At Posted Monkey asks, technically, aren't most sports handball? Well, yes, they're technically handballs, but you know, there's not a peach basket on the basketball court anymore, too. You know, football mostly played with your hands too. And soccer.
Well, hold on. Now hang on. Now football is played with your feet.
Oh, sorry. Yes, yeah, American football. Jeez,
that's right.
My Amerocentrism is getting out of control today. All right. So related question. Marcella Fama at Fama_Marcello asks, why is handball against the wall called handball and handball with a net called handball? How many handballs can one planet sustain? Also, most sports involve hands and balls. They all got more creative. Well, you know, in Germany, they don't call that game against the wall handball, right?
Right.
You've lived there before, and it's called Der Wallstensprachen. And technically that means he who thrusts against a wall receives a return. And I mean, that's not very catchy in American, but, you know, I think they just, I guess I just think it's the disrespect that domestically, you know, the great sport of handball gets, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, listen, and netball doesn't get its due.
Right,
okay?
Right, so, exactly.
You know, we basketball, and then you've got this giant, you know, glass board behind the net and basket. Just seems like a child's game compared to actual netball.
I agree.
Real sport.
We have a question from Sean O'Shea, longtime Handball Rock listener. He says, last night I watched an episode of Mad About You where Helen Hunt's character Jamie gloats to her friend Fran about beating her in handball. Jamie then wonders if she should become a professional handball player as she's in between jobs and looking for a purpose in life. Do you think that Jamie might have had what it takes to go pro? Also, did you know Paul Reiser wrote the Mad About You theme song? All right, well, let's just look up. We don't have any stats.
Well, number one, hold on.
Yeah, yeah.
They're definitely talking about the other kind of handball that's against the wall.
Yeah, right? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But I think I'm just going to pretend that she's playing the real sport.
Sure. Well, she's just is she a good athlete? I don't think so. She doesn't come across like one.
Well, you know, she's taller. Yeah, I think she's taller than you think. Five
with short arms.
5'8", 130. That's the problem. And you know, she shows some athleticism. I believe she used to be a dancer, so that's good. But I mean, can you see Helen Hunt really delivering a pick in the crease?
No, she's not the down and dirty, you know, gritty sort of player that you want out there. I think that, you know, you're probably looking for more of a Scarlett Johansson type.
Right. Like a little
someone that
little,
can mix it up.
To the second part of the question, we did know that. And because we're both big fans of Paul Reiser's music, actually, do you mind if I play a song from the album Paul Reiser wrote and played piano on with Julia Fordham? The album's called Unusual Suspects, and this is a song called Minefield.
Hide the scissors and the matches. Hurry batten down the hatches. Lock the doors and pad the walls. Seal the windows, nail the doors.
So yeah, not bad. Paul Reiser, in contrast to handball superfan Kelsey Grammer, who sang theme song to Frasier in the closing credits, Paul Reiser pretty content to just tickle the ivories. So that's good. Okay, this is a question from my dad. It says, I'm seeing these guys from Egypt and Germany taking four steps with the ball. When is the International Handball Federation going to start calling traveling?
Yeah, it's well, Sean.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you know how I feel about this as a purist. Look, they're ruining our game.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And they're doing it for clicks or for eyeballs or whatever you want to call it. But they are intentionally trying to change the game. Now, look, if you want to codify this and just add the four, it's not going to bother me.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
We need a level playing field.
But what they want is for people to see that France is putting up 42 in an Olympic quarterfinal, and people get really excited about that. And they don't really think about the integrity of the game. So, yeah, it's kind of messed up. All right. We got a question from @DoNots. That's Forrest. And he says, handball fucking rips. I don't know if this is a question. How much does handball rip?
Rips pretty hard. Rips.
Tears, I would say, even. All right.
It rips heavy. It rips heavy. Mm-hmm. Rips like a quilt.
I like that. I agree. Okay, yeah. Heavy, heavy is the correct answer. We had another comment from Norm Charlton. Basically just said he saw at the Iceland semis and finals at the Beijing Olympics and was witness to the greatest Icelandic sporting moment in history. He eventually even got an Iceland jersey. This is what I like to hear about somebody embracing the sport. But yeah, the you know, you happen to catch the golden generation of Icelandic handball. I guess they called it the icicle generation because of Iceland. But yeah, that's an impressive silver medal followed by a bronze at the European Championships in 2010. I mean, that was a great, great era for Icelandic handball. And, you know, I think they could bounce back a little bit. Because, you know, when you look at Viktor Hallgrímsson, And the way he can protect that net, he's only 21. And then also you've got Arnar Fryer Arnarsson, Sigvaldi Guðjónsson. And then, you know, of course, everybody's favorite. He's getting a little older, but Ólafur Guðmundsson. And so yeah, I don't think it's that impossible that we'll see another kind of resurgence of Icelandic handball.
Well, it's a good young core and they're going to have an opportunity to grow together. And again, you know, you speak to that experience, that corporate knowledge that Iceland has. And, you know, you have to think this could be a team potentially in contention for a medal in 2024.
Yeah.
But for sure, 2028, when all these guys are really going to be hitting their prime, early prime even.
Exactly. All right. We have a question from Handball Related. Nikola Karabatic is one of the greatest handball players ever, but he and his brother also gambled on matches and ensured that their team trailed at halftime. That's an affront to the integrity of the sport and also puts his legacy in question. My question is, do Nikola and his brother Luca eat ass?
I mean, they're French.
Yeah, I mean, it's 100%, I think. So,
yeah.
Kevin Dinahan asks, should handball be replaced by Quidditch as an Olympic sport? I think this is a joke question, Dave.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, well, Quidditch is not a real sport.
No, it's like some annoying college children running around with brooms. And you know what I would say to those kids? Why don't you use that broom to do some sweeping instead of it's a book for children. Patrick Cosmos at Very Important, aka the strongest man in Chicago, writes, we had handball in high school gym class, and I volunteered to be the captain. And I picked all the nerds and fat kids, and our team was so bad that the teacher eventually forced us to trade with someone else for the sake of competitive balance. My question is, how heroic does this make me? Let me tell you something. Handball's not about participation trophies, Cosmos.
You know what I mean? Winners.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, you were bad at handball on purpose? Like, nerd. Congratulations. Yeah. Okay.
But wow, very ironic of you.
Yeah. He does add, I also devolished my friend Kevin directly in the nuts every time I got a shot on goal. It was an accident, but it also rolled. How is it an accident if you did it every time?
Also, though, I got to say, I've changed my opinion, and now I'm back. I think this Patrick guy is okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think
because it does rule to hit
it
your does, buddy.
It look, it rules. It rules. I just don't believe it's an accident, but he's correct that it rules. So,
I mean, I'm going to say not think about if he.
Well,
think about if he used that accuracy to put the ball in the goal. Then yeah, maybe exactly. His team of nerds and fat kids, you know, could have tasted victory for the first time.
I will say, so he's not heroic for having a bad team, is heroic for the nut shots. That's that's always, yeah. I mean, it's why they call it handball. You know what I mean? All right. Okay. Let's finish this up. Guys, again, thank you so much for the questions. This is great. At Jackson at Cheaper by 12 Film asks, which NBA All-Star could you beat in handball?
A lot of NBA questions. Yeah. People must be like really the finals just happened, I guess.
You know what? So. You know what happened is that we got a retweet from John Hollinger, and that I think really brought things up. I actually think he was a little bit confused, and because what happened was we talked about all the salary cap breakdowns that we did for just all the Bundesliga teams last week. Mm-hmm. And I think
find that just, on the Patreon.
I think it just got like aggregated or something like that. So I think we have a lot more American fans right now. And again, thank you.
Olympic bump, Sean? You know, we knew this was coming. We knew that just like in 2016 when we were here doing the same, you know, mailbag, we knew we were going to get the Olympic bump and we saw it. But I guess that, you know, hey, look, this is how you bring new people into the sport.
And look, the ratings are always going to be good if it's France facing Denmark. We know that. That's handball 101. Okay, so tradition. which NBA All-Star could you beat in handball? I'm going to say Chris Gatling, known as the Energizer in Golden State, the Gatling gun. I just think he was known for his energy off the bench, but I just think some of his springiness is going to hurt him in handball. He's not disciplined enough.
Yeah. Who's the worst All-Star that you can think of? What's that guy's name? The European guy. His dad played.
Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah, yeah. He's the worst All-Star ever, right? So, yeah.
Him. Oh, I have heard that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
Euro thing, though, I worry about that.
I mean, I don't want to disrespect the tradition of Lithuanian handball.
Maybe I could beat him at basketball, but maybe not handball. Yeah, you're right. I probably got to go American there.
Yeah. Maybe Chris Kamen.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Too slow. He's just gonna get the ball whipped around him too much. And one final question from our friend Mike Burchett. Robert Ripley of Ripley's Believe It or Not was the New York City handball champion in 1925. Not really a question. I just find it hilarious to think of a cartoonist hitting game point and screaming, "Believe that motherfucker!" in one of those 20s workout unitards. Look, it's a funny observation, but as we know. Especially in the 1920s, they definitely had to perform in, you know, a bikini. So he's not wearing a unitard. He's showing
those rules are not new.
No. Yeah. I mean, that predates it. I mean, they used to have to play handball naked, not just at the first Olympics, but basically right up until World War One. And the only thing that happened was there were too many nut shots. And so they decided, okay, we can have a bikini underwear. But here's the thing. When handball was starting out, I'm not opposed to skimpy outfits in handball, and I understand why there's a market for it. It was a big wharf sport, really big on the boardwalks. I just want to see some more gender equity. And people who were watching handball in the 1920s, they wanted to see some competition. They wanted to see some skill. They also wanted to see some upper thigh, pasty white upper thigh, from, you know, a New York man who spent most of his time in a gymnasium.
That's going to do it for our show. Sean, do you have anything to plug?
You can check out my column. I'm a guest columnist on FC Spartak Daily this week, and I'm just going to be talking about offseason moves and what the Olympics told us about, you know, the European domestic leagues this year.
Yeah. You guys can find me, of course, at Frankie Muniz on Twitter, where my most recent tweet was eventuell suggesties wort herlegen van in mut Vilnius gewold anhand wagen. De polite von de min to munden not at hij wagen stolen. Allemal in el car geslagen in gespoten in hij is gewold met 10,000 pound afval. At 100 got junk. Quam netten zet zet nit zurendon. What new?
Oh, man.
And of course, in English, you know, any suggestions on how to empty a garbage filled trailer? Police located mine 2 months after it was stolen, all beat up and spray painted, and it's filled with 10,000 pounds of garbage. At 1-800 got junk, just came and told me they won't do it. Now what?
It's tough. It's tough for that guy.
Tough scene.
Yeah.
All right. Respect the process.
Shut it down.
Let's hope for a France-Denmark rematch and that nobody's shaving points. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.